listening to the Fantasy Movie League podcast, the free fantasy game for Hollywood. Pick 8 movies for your own fantasy cineplex each week, earn points from real weekend box office results. Compete for free in public leagues or against your friends at fantasymovieleague.com. This is Wednesday, February 3rd, 2016, and it's week 10 of the Fantasy Movie League award season. I'm Pete Johnson, the Fantasy Movie League nerd, and I'm here with Patrick Reardon, the box office guy. And Patrick, I'll cut right to the chase. The nerd stat of the week is it's our first week where we had a best performerless perfect cinema.
I think we talked about this very topic. It was either last week or 2 weeks ago, and you were just dying for it to happen, and now it's here. How does it make you feel?
It's a mathematical oddity, so I'm excited. So it ended up being 6-time Star Wars, 2 Ride Along was the perfect cinema. And so The Big Short was best performer and didn't appear in that. So it was kind of the weirdness of where Ride Along 2 hit and the fact that the bonus that came along with being best performer for best short didn't pick it up enough to make it that perfect cinema. Only 383 people played perfect cinema here this last week.
Which is not a lot. I went with sticking with Star Wars, I went 7 Star Wars and 1 Daddy's Home, which I think a lot of other people did, which wasn't too far off from the top. But so it was a good week overall for me.
No, I moved up a little bit, not substantially, but like a slot or two in the public leagues that I'm in with that lineup. So it was kind of you're not going to make huge gains with whatever you played this week, but sort of keep pace with everybody else.
The people who got bold and tried to get a little cute with their lineups, those are the people you gained on, and that always feels good.
Yeah, and the kind of take-a-chance lineup we talked about last week involved 50 Shades of Black, which did not do very well.
You know, of the 4 new releases last week, like 3 of them, I was like pretty much on the money with when it came to Kung Fu Panda, Jane Got a Gun, and Finest Hours. I was wrong about 50 Shades of Black, and I feel good about that. Like, I've never been happier to be wrong.
You feel good about being wrong?
It gave me faith in humanity that I was off on 50 Shades of Black. Like, maybe there are people with good taste out there.
All right. I like that. Well, let me give some shout-outs to some leaders. So we didn't get to that last week, so I want to make sure to get some attention to some folks. So during week 7, the drawing for the T-shirt winner was a screen named Jordan's Old Dirty Movie Palace, and I don't want to know what kind of films are shown there.
As a family podcast, yeah, we won't get into that.
Week 7 score winner was Maroon Tiger Theater. I like that name very much. The first basketball team I was ever on, and you know this is significant for me. I'm 6'6" tall. The first basketball team I was ever on had maroon jerseys.
And were you the Tigers?
We weren't. We were inexplicably the Vultures, but maroon tiger, like the color maroon in any animal, I'm good with.
And like growing up, was there ever anybody in your class who was even close to being as tall as you?
Not until high school, I would say.
Okay, so basically they put you in the post and you had to play center automatically every time.
Well, I got to play center every time.
Of course.
Yeah. And then our week 8 score winner was SBM 05001.
So I'm not even going to try to decipher what that team name means.
I have no idea. Maybe that's a partial zip code or I'm not really sure.
Or an ATM pin code? I don't know. It's like, you know, it's dangerous.
That would be dangerous if you use your pin code as your screen name. So, now on the chatter this week, player the Master 8 started something that he or she called the crossover game, which I liked very, very much. It was take the words in the titles of the films for this week, make up your own film title, and make up a tagline for it. Did you happen to see that thread, or was I alone in my admiration?
I did happen to see this, and I've played this game with friends many times. You can really go down a rabbit hole. I'm glad I didn't get sucked in too deep, because I would have been wildly unproductive this week. But I got a little into it.
Well, did you like the 3 that I liked that I sent you notes on? The first one was The Finest 13 Hours, where the tagline was about how long Hateful Eight was. That was by Yeehaw Jester's Dead.
Pretty accurate.
Norm Got a Gun. Again, this is family podcast, so I'm going to substitute a word here. Norm is back, and he's ticked. That was by Andrew Cineplex. And Daddy's Brooklyn, revisionist history film about what it would be like if the Dodgers had never left Brooklyn. Can you say Los Angeles Mets? And that was by Satellite of Love.
Saw that with Satellite of Love. Like, did you come up with your own little?
I didn't. Sadly, I was not creative with that, but I really liked these three.
Okay. Mine was, like, I didn't just go tagline. Like, I think of it much deeper. Again, like I said, I've wasted too much time on this. I wanted to go with 50 Shades of Brooklyn, which is a Spike Lee film about a young man who works at a sunglasses hut in a mall. And it's the native Brooklynites do battle with the hipster. It's a really powerful piece about gentrification. Like, I think it'll be in theaters probably 2018 is my guess.
Okay. You put a lot of thought into that.
Actually, like I told you, I've wasted a lot of time with these. I can come up with these on the fly pretty quickly. It's one of my many useless talents.
Well, would you consider yourself a writer for a living, or are you a producer for a living now?
I would say the bulk of it's producing.
But you still kind of have that writing Jones in you from...
Here and there, I don't get to write as much as the stuff that I work on, like as I have in the past. But like every once in a while, it comes into play, and like I usually enjoy that.
Okay. Well, let's turn to the overall leaderboard here. So we've got some new folks here in the top 3 to 5, given some of the jostling that's happened here over the last couple of weeks. Our overall week one starter leader right now is a screen named Tyranny of Evil Men, which is a pretty cool name, at 985 million. MG Movie Girl Cineplex, who's been around the top 10 here the last few weeks, is a bit behind at 967 million. And those two have kind of separated themselves from this other group that's in the mid-930s. To the Pain, Mare Bear, Stare Lair, and Griffdong, which I don't want to know what that is.
It's one of those ones. It's probably one of those films playing in the Dirty Cineplex we mentioned
probably.
Earlier.
Probably. That's how you get some synergy. That's how you go from A to B, definitely. Now, the other thing I'm excited about is this week's interview was with the View winner, Just Plain Awesome. And that turned out really well. Let's give that a listen right now. I'm excited to be here today with our View winner, Just Plain Awesome. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So first, I have to ask you about your screen name, Just Plain Awesome. So is that some kind of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Jeff Spicoli kind of reference, or was that just brash optimism when you created the account?
It's actually none of the above. It comes from a t-shirt. Usually when I do things online, my name is Lazy Bum.
Okay.
And I do, you know, when I'm doing things anonymously, but for this, my mom was competing in the league. And I know at least one other person I know professionally as a lawyer is going to compete. And I just couldn't quite see myself telling those people, yeah, my name is Lazy Bum. And so that seemed like a really embarrassing thing to have to do. So I was trying to come up with another one, and I had my laundry sitting on the table, and on top was a t-shirt with, you know, one of the M&Ms, you know, the anthropomorphic M&Ms.
Sure.
And it said, Just Plain Awesome, and I went, oh, that's the best name ever. I'm going to use that.
So it's the Mars Candy Company was the inspiration?
Exactly.
Nice. Well, I can see the Lazy Bum. That's not something I'm sure your mom would have been super, super proud that you won regardless, but I'm sure you would have had like a, were you wearing clean underwear kind of thing if
yeah,
you had gone
she would
the
have been
name.
Incredibly embarrassed if they had announced that on anything. She's probably going to be embarrassed if she finds out I said it on here.
I won't tell her if you don't.
Plus, you know, I figured telling, you know, my boss and other people I work with, yeah, Lazy Bum, that just, it seemed like a terrible idea in a league where people might know my
Sure.
Might know who it is.
Now, from when you started, so did you start as a result of the promotion on the View program? That's what your screenplays would suggest.
Yeah, I came in because of that. I didn't actually see the appearance on the View. I heard about it on the 06010 podcast, but I'd never played before. I came in because of the View promotion.
Okay. And so you probably don't mind me saying that first week was a little rough for you, but you picked it up very quickly.
Yeah, the first week was really bad. I think I said on the chatter somewhere that I played in the Heart of the Sea, and I really thought it was a good idea. Like, I legitimately thought that was a good play, and I look back on that, and it's very embarrassing.
Moby Thor, some people got fooled.
Yeah, but though I feel like they shouldn't have. No offense if you played it, but it was a terrible play.
But then after that, the learning curve flattened for you pretty quickly, and you did really well. Pretty much you nailed every week after that. What was that learning curve like for you, and what do you attribute the success to?
The learning curve, I think the learning curve is still going on. I mean, I think it's a little deceptive to say just because I got it right, you know, what, 6, 7 weeks in a row, that I had a flat learning curve. But for me, what happened was, so the first week was a disaster, and I'm very competitive, and I was like, I will not be in the bottom 10%. That's unacceptable. So I went in and I looked at the chatter and looked at all the resources available, and I realized really quickly that I wasn't going to be able to learn all of that in the 4 days before my lineup had to go in. And so I came up with a strategy that's very, it's basically designed to make my decisions simple, because okay. I figured the veterans are going to make good decisions. If it's a close call, they're going to make a better decision than I am. So I have to make it so I don't have any close calls.
Okay. So were there particular folks on the chatter that you found more helpful than others as it related to their advice you were seeing, or did you just kind of you got a general sense based on what people were posting?
I got a general sense based on what people were posting. It was, I can't even tell you who I looked at those first few weeks. I mean, I know like Phil's Fun Flicks does a lot of stuff, and I feel like I should be able to name them all off really quickly because there are three or four people that post a lot of information.
Sure.
But basically I was just looking at the amount of information out there and realizing, like, you know, you have theater counts and audience scores and the cinema score and the critical reviews, and realizing that you can't learn that all really quickly. And so basically I decided I wanted to put together a strategy that meant that I didn't have to know that stuff. I just had to basically give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
Well, if you were starting today, is there something you would want to know now that you didn't then?
Certainly for the first, because I didn't discover your comparator until I think the third or fourth week.
Okay.
And that is a godsend, because I did a lot, you know, I was doing a lot of math on my own, and, you know, my very weak grasp of spreadsheets was definitely kicking my butt. And so that's a tool I would point any beginner to. I think it's great. I love it. It's probably my favorite thing I've discovered from anyone on the chatter or anywhere else.
Oh, wow. That's nice of you to say. Thank you. I won't disagree with that, but I appreciate the endorsement.
Yeah, well, it's a big part of what I do now, you know, what I do to set my lineups now. So thank you for making that publicly available to all of us.
You are very welcome. What I sought to do with that was make, as you said, the math more approachable. There is some math in trying to figure that stuff out, and I didn't think it should be a spreadsheet contest. It should be a contest about what you think is going on with the movie. So I'm glad you enjoy it. I'm glad you found it useful.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate it. I always say I became a lawyer because I'm terrible at math, so I definitely wouldn't have won this contest without having access to something like that.
Well, now you brought that up. Let me ask you about that. So I looked in your background a little bit. So not only are you an attorney, but I believe you're also a college athlete. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's when I was in undergrad, I did track. I threw the hammer, which nobody knows what that means, but I threw the hammer and I also threw the shot put.
Nice. No, my dad was a high school football and track coach for 30 years, so I feel like we're kindred spirits now.
Absolutely.
So do you think there was something about the combination of the competitiveness that came from college athletics and maybe the kinds of things that make you good to be an attorney? Was there something like some combination of those things that shaped your strategy or made this either easier or harder for you or anything along those lines?
I mean, I think it definitely helps because, like you said, being an athlete, I'm very competitive. And being an attorney, you know, you can say all sorts of things about attorneys. But one thing we do really well is we're very detail oriented. And also, basically, when you're an attorney, your job is to take a set of rules and make the best possible argument, best possible set of decisions under that set of rules. And so that translates pretty well to gameplay in right. any sort of game, but especially a game like this, I think.
Okay, I like that. Now, let me ask you about the prize. So first of all, let me ask, have you been here to Southern California before?
I've been to San Diego before. I know I've been to Los Angeles because I went to Disneyland when I was like, I don't know, 4 or 5. I was not very old. So I have been there, but not since I've been old enough to remember it. I think I've only been through the airport a few times since I've been an adult.
Well, so then that part of it, just coming out here and experiencing it as an adult, that part's going to be pretty fun. Is there something in particular about the prize that you're looking forward to? Is there a specific aspect of it?
I mean, I think it's just, it's a wonderful opportunity to get to do something that ordinarily I would never get anywhere close to. It reminds me a little bit of a few years ago, I went to one of the Broncos games, and I had seats right on, just right in front of the field, very front row. And so I got to be basically within, you know, 2 or 3 feet of, like, Peyton Manning and some of the offensive linemen, Demaryius Thomas, you know, players who I'm really impressed with. And that was just such a cool experience to get to see something you normally see from a very, you know, a very big distance, to see it up close. And
different
so
vantage point, sure.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to getting to do that, only with, you know, celebrities, the movie stars. Plus, I'm looking forward to the weather. I'll admit that. I think I told you earlier, I live in Wisconsin, and it's not very warm here. So I'm hoping it's 60 when I head out there.
Well, come on, cop to it. Before I started recording, tell me how cold it is there today.
It is, I believe it's 20 degrees. I haven't looked it up, but we're supposed to be getting, we have a winter storm warning. So I think we're supposed to be getting like a foot of snow.
Yeah, I don't envy that at all, being the Southern California weather wimp that I am.
Yeah, it's I think weather-wise, you made a much better decision about where to live.
Well, it was where I was born, so I can't really credit myself with that. You have to talk to my parents about that.
Well, that's, I moved here. I grew up in Colorado, but I eventually chose to come here, so I guess I have no one to blame but myself.
Now, you name-dropped Disneyland, and around me, it's either a really good thing or a really bad thing, because I've been an annual pass holder forever, and I'm not just nerdy about Fantasy Movie League. I am way nerdy about Disneyland as well. Are you planning a trip when you come out, or are you planning to see other things in addition to what you're going to get as part of the price package?
I haven't really thought it out. I know I definitely would like to see other things, but I haven't. The travel coordinators haven't been in touch yet to do the final, you know, here's when you'll go in, here's when you'll fly out. So I haven't really thought about what I'm going to do. Well, but hopefully something else. Maybe not Disneyland, because I feel like Disneyland, you stand in line more than you actually do rides or anything.
Well, that's only if you're not following my advice that's the case.
Oh, okay. Well, see, maybe I need to get your advice, and then I'll realize Disneyland is a good idea.
Well, if that happens for you, you've got my email now. I offer you my personal Disneyland advice should you need it.
Okay. If it comes up.
And maybe it's not for you, but if it is, I'm your man. I'll help you out there.
Absolutely. I'll take you up on it.
Now, let me get you out of here with this. So now you're a veteran player of 9-10 weeks or so. If there's one thing that you could change about Fantasy Movie League, whether the scoring system, Mara brought up changes to the forums, there was a post that Quality Assurance put on this week about a mobile app or anything else, what would you like to see change for the better?
And see, I listened to Mara last week, and I wanted really to not repeat her advice and things. And I can't on this one. I think a forum is the thing. If I had a magic wand and I could change it, I would turn it into a proper forum, maybe with player profiles, you know, where you don't just end up on their screens, but actually where you can get information if they want to provide that.
And sure.
I'd like to see, because I think the chatter is pretty unruly. Now that, you know, at first it intimidated me, and now I actually read it and use it as a resource, but it would be a lot better if it could be more organized.
Well, let me double click on that. What was it that intimidated you about it at first?
I just think, and it still intimidates me a little, because I have no idea what I'm talking about. I mean, I realize I won, and everyone thinks that means I have a clue. You know, and I do, you know, I look at comps, and I read a lot about what's going on with these movies, but a lot of times I don't know what it means. You know, like last week there was a debate someone was having about Ride Along 2 and whether it was going to hold stronger than usual because, you know, the blizzard really affected the South and Northeast where Ride Along 2 was doing well. And I have no ability to comment on that. I was just like, oh, that's nice. There was a blizzard. I really don't know how that applies. And I feel like there are a lot of discussions that some of the people who've been around since the beginning have that I just can't have I can't input intelligently to what they're talking about. And so, you know, it's a little bit intimidating on that ground. So people are great. I think they're really nice, but, and they've never made me feel like an idiot. I just feel like an idiot because I know how little I know.
Well, I would say to anybody who's a new player that none of us know everything. I think some of us know how to eliminate super bad plays, but anybody who thinks they can pick the perfect combo every week is kidding themselves. There's just too much variation in what happens with human behavior to be able to predict that every time. And I think you had one perfect combo throughout your run. I think it was the week that the forest did better than
I think I had one. Yeah, I've not had very many perfect combos, and I don't get the best performer very much either. Although, I'll admit to you, I don't actually look at that the way everyone else does. I don't really search for the best performer. I just try and put together the best, the cinema I think is going to make the most money, ignoring all of the bonuses. So I don't hit the best performer as much as everyone else seems to.
And that's exactly why I added the turn bonus off button. That's when people yeah. ask for that. That's exactly why that was.
That's why I like that a lot, because I'm just shooting for consistency at this point. I think as a beginner, that's what you're looking for. You don't need to be hitting it out of the park every week. You just want to stay in the fight every week.
And that's great advice. So let's end on that, because I think that's wonderful advice. It is about the consistency and sort of staying in it every week.
All right. Sounds good.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. And I'm hoping I'll talk you into coming back after your trip so we can hear all about it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I would love to come back after the trip. And who knows, maybe I'll have pictures or something I can share.
Ooh. Okay, great. Well, thanks again.
All right, thanks.
Now, the interesting thing there, Patrick, is that she's not spent a lot of time here in Los Angeles. And once we turned off the recording, she said what she was most looking forward to, in addition to, of course, the contest, was she was looking forward to getting some suggestions for places to eat. I told her you were the go-to there because you live closer to where she's going to be than I do.
Oh, dear God. Well, like, first of all, she mentioned the weather. I just checked it out, and it looks like it's going to be 81 and clear here on Sunday. And keep in mind, we are still in February, so I think we just made, like, a huge chunk of the country jealous. God, like, where to eat? I don't even know where to begin. Like, what type of cuisine? Oh, Jesus.
Well, I'll get you your email address.
You know what? Let me think about it. Like, I'll get the email address, and maybe if I think of it by the end of the pod, like, I can throw out a decent recommendation.
All right.
But if not, like, I'll definitely reach out to her.
So...
And also, it makes me glad that we have an educated lawyer who's participating in the game, and she clearly recovered from a first-week debacle, which, you know, I haven't quite done myself. Like, she went within the heart of the sea, I had Krampus, so we all have those weeks, but you can recover from them.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting how she was able to do that, sort of catch on quickly, read through the forums at the folks that she thought... You know, she really thought about taking advice from others and really, but then took that and gave her own spin to whatever her lineups were, and that ended up working out for her. Now she gets to experience our 80-degree weather instead of her 20-degree weather at the end of the month.
I hope she has a nice trip. I guarantee you it's going to be nicer than Wisconsin. Like, that I feel confident about.
Now, the other thing we talked about both a little bit with her and last week was about some of the sort of base advice to, like, not leave a bunch of blank screens, to be careful about if you go all in on multiple screens of a movie, you better be really sure that has a chance at best performer, those sorts of things.
100%.
Now, I'm afraid neither of my parents have been following this advice. My mom played four empty screens last week after literally that's what we said on the podcast. Don't do multiple empty screens. And my mom went ahead and did it.
I think you're clearly going to have to, like, sit your mom down and had a really frank discussion with her.
Now, my dad has a standard line about his math skills where he says he took 4 years of algebra. He took 2 years of algebra one and 2 years of algebra two. And then he also likes to say that he passed on his math genes to me practically unused, and that I owe him for that.
Okay, and I think we're setting us up here. Like, what mistake did he make this week?
Oh, he played Brooklyn 5 times.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
5 times.
Yeah, 5. I can see going 1 or 2. But
well, did that mean he at least had a Kung Fu Panda? Like,
yeah, he did.
Okay.
That's why he did it. He went big on Kung Fu Panda, and then when that didn't work out, he was left to fill with 5 times Brooklyn.
So, again, I hope you sit both of them down together and that they learn from their mistakes and they can be better players going forward.
I'll do my best, Patrick, but, you know, at some point you just got to let them go.
I haven't even really introduced my parents to the game because I don't want to be on the – I don't want to have a 30-minute phone call trying to explain the rules where I end up, like, just pulling my hair out and going crazy. So I'm going to keep it, like, you know, from them for a while.
Well, let's move on to our new films here for week 10. We got 3 new ones, and I know which one you're most eager to talk about. Do you want to take that one first or last?
We can do that one first. Like, I'm not eager to see it, but I think, like, for the rest of 2016, you might not see a better title at the multiplex this year, which, of course, I'm talking about Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Yeah, based on the novel, which I believe came out before the Abe Lincoln Vampire Hunter. So,
so you're telling me this is not a Jane Austen novel?
No, it sadly is not.
Stunning.
Now, so the Abe Lincoln Vampire Hunter came out in June of 2012, and it did $16.3 million in its opening. But the little bit of numbers that I looked through, I sent you some comps that I found of other movies that were based on book source material that came out in about this February timeline in the last 10 years or so. And those are movies like The Spiderwick Chronicles, I Am Number 4, Percy Jackson, Jumper, and of course, who can forget The Duff? I did, but
I'm proud to say I still have not seen The Duff, so I feel good about myself there. And like a lot of those movies, I think you mentioned, they're playing a little bit softer, like they're playing much more to a tween audience, whereas Pride and Prejudice, much like Abe Lincoln Vampire Hunter, more of like, you know, a hardcore, like violent type of flick. So I think it's a little bit different, but again, I like the title for this movie, and I don't know. Like, if you set the over-under at 10, I don't know which way to go. I think it's going to be right around there.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because the ProBoxOffice.com long-range forecast for this one was 10.5. At least the one that, when I made my notes, that's what it was for. And then their weekend prediction that came out about an hour before we recorded this was at 11 million. We haven't heard from Showbuzz Daily at the time that we're recording, but so they would go over on your 10 million line.
See, again, this is another one of those weekends. We'll get to the other new releases in a sec. Like, can anybody, like, can people clear 10? Can anybody get to the teens? Like, I don't know if any of them can. So this is a new release. Like, I don't feel particularly great about. I'm not super confident.
Now, of the new releases, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies has the best shot, according to the forecasts, at best performer. So it's got a best performer number of a little of almost 46,000. It's a 45,830 and change. Where two of the returnings, The Finest Hour, is at 46,960 and change, and Kung Fu Panda right now is at 51,490. So if you go by the professional forecasts, that Pride and Prejudice has the best shot, but both Kung Fu Panda and Finest Hours, there's some separation there with what their predicted numbers are.
Again, we'll get to the Panda in a little bit, but last week, way too expensive. This week, kind of reasonable. I'm giving it a real look.
Yeah, I think that we're going to see a lot of lineups that have Kung Fu Panda as its anchor, and then other things that people think might be lower priced best performer possibilities. I think we're going to see a lot of that this week.
Of these new releases, I don't think there is that solid anchor, which means Kung Fu Panda, at least one screen at the top of your lineup, is a pretty solid strategy.
Now, how about The Choice? I think this one's the most interesting of the new ones because of the strong following that Nicholas Sparks movies have had in the past and how low both the long-range forecast and the daily forecast are from ProBoxOffice.com on this one.
And like before we like delve too deep into this, what is your favorite Nicholas Sparks adaptation, Pete?
I think I've only seen The Notebook, and I read the book first, so I'm a little biased there.
Okay, you know, I think that I'm looking this up right now. I think pretty sure that's the only one that I've seen. There have been 10 Nicholas Sparks adaptations. The Notebook is the only one that I have seen.
And that was more than 10 years ago.
Right? 2004.
Okay, so yeah. So if you look at the ones in the last 10 years, none of them have come in lower than 10 million. That was Best of Me, which before this week, I admit I had never heard of, which came out in October of 2014, and it made just a shade over 10 million in its opening weekend.
Which I'm looking at this now, like he's never been below 10, which gives me faith, but that's like I don't know what to choose when it comes to The Choice.
Well, the long range forecast from boxoffice.com is 8.5 million on this, but when they came out with the weekly prediction for this week, they went down to 7. Yeah, straight 7 million. So they went down on that. So that's like a 30% loss compared to the worst performing Nicholas Sparks movie.
You see, I think that feels a little bit low, especially when you consider like the most recent Nicholas Sparks, The Best of Me, which neither of us had really registered at all. That still cleared 10. This is a Super Bowl weekend where traditionally they do release, you know, female skewing fare. And I think this could do okay, but I think, again, I don't think it's going to make much more than 10 million. I don't think it's going to make much less. I think it's going to be right in that sweet spot around there.
Do you think there comes a point where an author, where it gets saturated and it's just, I mean, does anybody write 10 books worthy of converting into movies?
See, I'm sure we could take 10 good Stephen King ones and just like throw out the 20.
Right, I'm sure
ones.
We could, but I mean, how many of those people are there, right? There's Stephen King, there's Michael Crichton.
There's not many.
I mean, does John Grisham, did he even make that many? I'd have to look that up. But it seems like once you get towards the end of the catalog, it starts to get the quality there starts to get a little thin.
From what I recall, John Grisham got to about a half a dozen, and he wasn't really thrilled with the way, like, you know, his films were turning out on the big screen, so he stopped selling the rights.
Yeah, so we'll see. I think this one could go either way. I mean, the statistics would tell you that 10 is a decent guess, but there's a reason that the pros here are guessing as low as they are.
They've
so
got
I'm not
some,
sure what to do with this one.
They have some kind of information.
Even if you go up to 10, I'll pull this up on the comparator right now. So I'm looking at compare.fmlnerd.com. If I take this up to, let's say I take it up to 10. That still doesn't put it in best performer. Actually, it does. Yeah, it does put it. If it gets up to 10, it would be in best performer in that zone.
Ooh, this movie has an appropriate title this week.
So that one's going to be tough. Okay, now for our last film, 2 weeks ago, you let me go off on my Nate Silver nerd rant. So sell me on the Coen brothers here and Hail Caesar.
Okay, well, the Coen brothers, obviously, like their subject matter, their films all over the map, as is their box office. And I was just having this conversation with somebody recently. I remember I was having drinks with, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 movie-loving friends a few years ago. And the Coen brothers came up, and we were all asked each other, like, rank your, I think they probably had about, you know, 12 movies out at the time, rank your favorite Coen brothers movie. Nobody at the table had the exact same list, and there was all kinds of spirited debate. So you never know, like, taste-wise, I think this movie is going to fall, Hail Caesar is probably going to fall somewhere in the middle. I think if you're going to look for comps, you look at the ones that they've done with George Clooney. Throwing out Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, which had a very long run and never played on more than 1,000 screens, I think you look at Intolerable Cruelty and Burn After Reading, and both of those movies ended up, and I don't have it directly in front of me, but I think in the mid to high teens, but I think this is going to be on the lower end. I think it is going to clear 10. Like, can it get to the low teens? I don't know, but I think somewhere probably between 10 and like 13.
Burn After Reading was 19 in its opening weekend on 2,600 screens. True Grit was 24.8.
Well, True Grit's far and away their like most successful, their biggest mainstream success. I think this is going to, like, I don't think it's going to do True Grit numbers, but I don't think it's going to be at the bottom. I think it's going to be somewhere in that middle.
Now, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? When the Coen brothers come up, that's the one that sticks in my mind to me. And it had kind of a weird release schedule where it came out, you know, on 5, then 96, then 165. And like you said, it never did get to 1,000 theaters. Its peak was 847 theaters. And
that never
weekend it did 3-3. It was a three-day weekend.
Never cleared 1,000, but again, I think you can thank the soundtrack for that, which was very popular like back in the year 2000. But that was kind of a weird schedule. So I think you got to look at the Coen brothers' wider releases. It has George Clooney, Scarlett Johansson, Channing Tatum, and it's got quite a cast. So I think it's going to do better than, for example, like a Serious Man, but I don't think it's going to get to True Grit level. So I think Burn After Reading would be, not with the opening, I think the movie's probably going to end up making 45 to 50 million overall. Hopefully it can get to the low teens this weekend.
So again,
but it's a little expensive. I plan to see it, I'm excited about it. I don't think it's a great play in Fantasy Movie League.
Yeah, it's at $286, which puts it pretty far back in that best performer analysis. So the weekly pro box office weekend prediction for it is 12.3. The long-term one, they had it closer to 14.5. So if you go up to that 14.5...
I would split the difference between those two.
You think like, so? You think like 13?
13 is kind of the number I'm looking at. I wouldn't be shocked if it ended up going lower. Again, this week it's the three new releases. Like, who's gonna clear 10 and by how much? And like, just $286, I think it's too expensive for Hail Caesar.
If you take it to say 13.5,
even then,
I
don't think that's enough.
It probably isn't.
So I'll enjoy the movie, but I won't be playing it on my screens.
Well, but that's why they play the games, right?
Precisely.
Now, what else did you want to talk about Kung Fu Panda?
Oh, just like, I think we already actually kind of covered it, just about being the anchor to the league. Again, I think it was at $7.85 last week. You could only play it once. This week, I don't know if I would play it twice, but I think it's a solid anchor.
Now, before we get out of here, let's talk about next week. So next week we've got three new films. Any of those jumping at you?
Finally, like, you know, January is always kind of a dumping ground. It's pretty lackluster. Next weekend, long President's Day weekend, we finally have two big popcorn movies to choose from with Deadpool and Zoolander 2. I've seen some pretty like aggressive and ambitious predictions for Deadpool. So like, I just get the little sense that it could be doing very well. Again, I've seen 60 as a debut weekend, which would be phenomenal, but yeah, we'll see how it goes.
All right.
The fanboys have been excited about this one. It feels like since two Comic Cons ago. I think it could do pretty well, and I get this like strange kind of like sense that people are kind of excited about Zoolander 2.
Yeah, that's one. I'll check the iSpot TV stats on that before we talk next week, but the very little bit of broadcast TV that I watched this week, it seemed like it was on every other commercial.
And like over the summer, like, you know, if you live in LA here, one of the cool things is they do like, you know, outdoor movie screenings. And I actually went to an outdoor screening of Zoolander, and just kind of on a lark because I hadn't gone to one of these screenings before. And it was an outdoor high school auditorium. The place was packed, and every person there knew every line to the movie, and it's been 14 years since it came out, and I just kind of have, like, you know, the spidey sense telling me this could actually be pretty big.
Cult following for the win.
There you go.
All right. Well, that's about it for this week then. So this has been week 10 of the Fantasy Movie Awards League season. You can find me on Twitter at NerdGuru. And Patrick, where can we find you?
You can find me at The Box Office Guy on Twitter.
The league itself, you can find on Twitter at FML_movies and on Facebook at Fantasy Movie League. And you can get your own Fantasy Movie League gear at FantasyMovieLeagueShop.com. Thanks again. We'll talk to everybody next week. This has been the Fantasy Movie League podcast. Come join us and play for free in public leagues or against your friends at FantasyMovieLeague.com.